Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath, and greeting to those of you who are on the webcast. Those of you who are a part of the baby boomer generation will remember Woodstock. You will remember songs such as "Your Cheating Heart Will Tell on You" by Hank Williams, or "Please Release Me, Let Me Go, I Don't Love You Anymore" by Jim Reed, or "Let's Get It On" by Marvin Gaye, who was referring to activities that Christians do not engage in, and or Roberta Flack, "Feel Like Making Love." Songs that were popular a few decades ago. "If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right." "If Mother and Dad Said It's Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right." Or a song that was popular also, "Me and Mrs. Jones, We Got a Good Thing Going." Those songs had a lot to do with the changing of our culture to what we have in our culture today. Living together, as it was known back then, or shacking up, became popular. Adultery became, or having an affair became popular. As teenagers and young adults, many of us loved those songs. We enjoyed it. We moved to the beat. We liked the rhythm. We liked the words. And we were not like a knot on a log. We moved around. And also, we were told after coming into the church that we need to listen to those words. Listen to what the song is describing. And after listening to them, we realized that they were portraying sex outside of marriage or before you're married, and adultery and all kinds of things that as a Christian we should not be listening to. Today we live in a culture crisis. The point is, how are we to deal with this in a society that looks down upon God and His laws and His way of life? My title today is A Culture Crisis. The word culture, defined by Webster's.com dictionary, is the belief, custom, arts, etc., of a particular society, group, place, or time. A particular society that has its own belief, ways of life, or ways of thinking. Here are two additional definitions of character, of our culture. The totality of belief, behaviors, tradition, and product of any society. High personal standards of moral manners and enlightenment. I'll be quoting from two writers who wrote about what's going on in our culture today. The first one is a progressive Christian writer, Rachel Evans, who published a widely shared and widely read piece in the Washington Post decrying the evangelical church shadow attempt to appeal to millennials by trying to make church cool. The church's attempt to make church exciting by having a party atmosphere, anything but the traditional church service. Evans believed the church shouldn't reform its style, but rather its substance, by becoming more, in essence, traditionally progressive. In other words, keep the ancient style, but change the ancient beliefs. How is that possible? People will form a religion that fits their style, or today they use the form spirituality, or the term spirituality. They do whatever they do to fit their style, things that the Bible does not talk about or command us to do. In a previous article for CNN, Evans set forth a litany of millennial demands. She states that we want an end to culture wars. We want a truth between science and faith. We want to be known for what we stand for, not for what we are against. We want to ask the questions that don't have a predetermined answer. And we all understand that the Bible is the place where we can find the answers to whatever problems or whatever difficulties we are dealing with. She goes on to say, we want churches that emphasize an allegiance to the kingdom of God over an allegiance to a single political party or a single nation. We want our LGBT friends to feel truly welcome to in our faith communities. For those of who don't know what those letters are, they lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. One of my co-workers commented recently that one of the churches she attended, some of the members got into a heated discussion on the issue of gay marriage. The opinion of most was that their leaders was pushing all of this on them, and the leaders of their churches was being pushed by the political candidates or the political people in the politicians. God wants everyone to be saved. He does not want anyone who practices a life of sin to be in his church or in his kingdom. Continuing with Mrs. Evans' comments, we want to be challenged to live our lives of holiness, not only when it comes to sex, but also when it comes to living simply, caring for the poor and oppressing, and pursuing reconciliation and engaged in creation care, putting more emphasis on the creation rather than the creator. And also to becoming peacemakers. This isn't a theological statement. It's a progressive writer's wish list. Evans' fervent belief is that the key to unlocking millennial spiritual energy is found in the old ways, not its actual belief. Mind you, the trappings of faith. Writer Evans stated that this generation, speaking of the millennials, is okay with dabbing a little bit and don't think there's any reason to look down on them. What she referring to is dabbling. They take a little bit of the Catholic, they take a little bit of the Methodist, they take a little bit of the Protestant and all other religions and mix it together or blend it together to form their form of religion. Another writer, Andrew Griswold, noted that the liberalization, especially on matters of sexual morality, was the single best way to shrink your church. The number he conveys is startling. Few churches have been more aggressive, inclusive, than the Episcopalian Church. Between 2002 and 2012, it lost 18.4% of its members, and its church attendance declined by 24.4%. The decade-long reality of American spiritual life is the loss of a spiritual consensus and growth of two intellectual and theological competitive culture tribes. One is religious conservatives and the materialistic society. As Griswold notes, culturally conservative churches such as the Assembly of God and the Mormon Church have enjoyed strong growth. The point is that there are liberals who long for the church to disappear or to change. John Lennon, as many of you know, of the Beatles, wrote a song, Imagine. And one of the notes he sung in that song was, Imagine no religion. If there is no religion, We are, as human beings, free to do whatever we think or whatever we want to, not realizing that there are consequences for all actions. The nones, N-O-N-E-S, are on the rise, with 46 point million Americans identifying themselves as religiously unaffiliated, according to the Pew Research Group. But these individuals are not really looking for a religion that would be right for them. For the present time, they are looking, not really longing for anything from a church. What is not stated here is that parents and churches have not taught the millennials or their children about God. Many school children, and my wife will attest to this, do not believe in God. We as God's people cannot allow that in the Church of God. We all have to set a right example, be an example of God's way of life. And God has to become real to all of us, so that we can avoid the disaster and the culture shift that is in our society today. In an article written in the United Church of God, on the United Church of God website, written by Steve Britt, one of the points he mentioned is, in reference to society, we do not teach our children about God at home or as a nation. We do not follow God's commandments. We do not study our Bibles. We do not teach the laws of God to our children at home because we do not know God ourselves. When we do not follow God, whether as individuals or as a nation, we all suffer for it. In a sermon given by Dr. Ward a few weeks ago, titled, Are We Lying Bait? He stated that we are a society that do not serve God, and we are a society today that tolerates evil, meaning that we don't let things bother us. If whatever you do is fine with me, nobody's upset, nobody's concerned about it. Dr. Ward also stated that there is no discipline, no parental guidance. Children are left to do whatever they want, and many forget where they came from. Those of you who are among the younger group here may know what EBD at school is. That stands for Emotionally Behavior Deficiency. These are kids who parents had them. Nobody taught them anything. And at schools where they attend school, they can be in a class and get up and walk out, and then the aides or the teacher have to follow them. They are restricted as to how much force or how much effort they can do to go around. Many will just blurt out anything that comes to their mind. And whether there's an adult or whether there's a principal or whoever is around, and many refuse to obey orders. So it's a tremendous challenge to the aides to keep order in the class. And this is because they haven't been taught anything. They have just been allowed to grow up without any instruction, without any guidance. Let's turn over to Proverbs 13 and reread verse 11 through 13. Proverbs 13. Verse 11 through 13. Verse 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Verse 13, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandments will be rewarded. Mr. Griswold continues his comment that we are headed for a culture conflict, more culture division, with only one certain path to extension, theological freedom and cultural conformity. There are liberals who long for the church to disappear or to change. That is because they long for it to totally disappear. In an article written by Mr. Dan Hughes in the January 2012 titled "America Culture Cascades Downward, Learn to Swim Upstream," excuse me, Mr. Hooser refers to a penetrating commentary on the decline of the Western society or Western culture in the 1996 book by Judge Robert Bork, Slouching Towards Gomorrah. He asserts that the foundation of any culture is its morality, and American morality is spiraling at that time downward. The emphasis on unrestrained individualism is leading to unabashed self-indulgence. One of the things I read recently that the people who continually promote the gay lifestyle is many businesses also engage in that. Frito-Lay, the Dorito chip maker, is packaging a pack of packages of Frito-Lay with the rainbow emblem on the bag, and that's to raise money for the gay foundation or gay cause. Another thing is the person that has the greatest positive impact on our Western culture is Jesus Christ. The book that has the greatest positive impact is the Bible. As Mr. Zinnemann brought out last Sabbath, the Bible has all the answers. Tragically, our world is drifting away from the influences or the knowledge of God. And we are all aware that cultural decline is all around us. Culture encompasses everything. We all, to one degree or another, are affected by the culture we live in. Culture decay is seen in countless alarming issues: crime, violence, disrespect for law and authority, dishonesty, the breakdown of the family, divorce, children with no fathers, alcohol and drug abuse, and political correctness and racial tension. We live in a hyper-sexualized society, riddled with immorality, shameless immodesty and adultery, pornography and prostitution, and the promotion of the gay lifestyle. Dr. Ward, in a sermon titled "A Day of Infamy," relating to the Supreme Court decision in June, he stated that any male born in this society today will have a difficult time maintaining his masculinity with what is taught in school and the peer pressure, unless there's a strong father figure to counter the reaction that any male student will receive in school. The culture problem that we see in our world today is prophesied. Let's look at it in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. Second Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloved, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. As in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3, Paul points out that we ought to avoid such people, to turn away. Other scriptures help us to understand what Paul meant here. We must not run with or be yoked together with them, because as 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil company corrupts good habits. Life Application Study Bible comments on verse 5. The form or appearance of godliness includes going to church, knowing Christian doctrine, using Christian cliches, and following a community Christian tradition. Such practice can make a person look good, but if the inner attitude and belief, love and worship are lacking, the outer appearance is meaningless. In 1 Peter 4:4, let's turn over to 1 Peter 4:4. Verse 4, 1 Peter 4. In regards to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. As Adam Clark comments on that point, thinking in it strange, Adam Clark states that they wonder and are astonished at you that you can renounce these gratifications of the flesh for a spiritual something, the good of which they cannot see. In Philippians 2:15, it sums up everything well. Philippians 2, verse 15. Philippians 2 and verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a corrupt and crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. In Romans chapter 1, Paul here describes what happens to a culture when people glorify the pagan theory of evolution rather than the Creator God, when they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, in verse 25 of Romans 1. The remainder of chapter 1 of Romans describes the consequences, the vices, evil, and perversion that are increasingly prevalent today. Let's read some of them in Romans 1, verse 24 through 28. Romans chapter 1. Verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25. Who exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion, even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Verse 27. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. A comment from CNN News by Dr. Paul R. McHugh, the former psychiatrist-in-chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital and his current distinguished service professor of psychiatry. He said that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment, that sex change is a biological impossible operation, that people who promote sexual reassignment surgery are collaborating with and promoting the mental disorder. He goes on to say, sex change is biologically impossible. People who undergo sex reassignment surgery do not change from men to women or vice versa. Rather, they become more feminized men or masculinized women. Claiming that this is a civil rights issue or matter and encouraging surgical intervention is in reality to collaborate and promote this disorder. Quoting from Life Application Study Bible on verses 28 and 27 of Romans 1, God's plan for natural sexual relationship is his ideal creation. Unfortunately, sin distorts the natural use of God's gift. According from Barnes' notes on the Bible on verse 28, on the part of the verse that says to retain God, Barnes' notes says that to think of him or to serve him and to adore him. This was the first step in their sin. It was not that God compelled them or that he did not give them knowledge, nor even it is said that he is arbitrarily abandoning them at the first step, but they forsook him, and as a consequence, he gave them up to a reprobate mind. Sin, as we all know, means denying God, but also denying the way we are made. When people say that any sex act is acceptable as long as nobody gets hurt, they are fooling themselves. In the long run, sin hurts individuals, families, and also whole societies. In a sermon given by Mr. John Miller a few weeks ago, titled The Consequences, in reference to our society today, the cause of the downturn is sin. God's way of life has positive results. As Mr. Zinnerman said that last Sabbath, God is a builder. Our adversary, Satan, is a destroyer. Paul's prescription is this, in Romans 12:2, as Mr. McQuinn quoted earlier. Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Adam Clark comments on verse 2 of Romans 12. This present state of things is as much opposed to the spirit of genuine Christianity as the world was then. Pride, luxury, vanity, extravaganza in dress, righteous living prevail now as they did then, and are as unworthy of a Christian, meaning Christians should not pursue these harmful things that can really destroy the body and are hateful in God's sight. Quoting from Barnes notes on the Bible on the phrase being acceptable, meaning that which is pleasing to God or which he will approve. It involves the main duty of religion to be separate from the world and express the way in which the duty may be performed, in which we may live so as to assert and do the will of God. If all Christians obeyed this, religion would be everywhere. It would be honored everywhere. If all were separate from the vices and follies and the amusement and the gaieties of the world, Christ would be glorified. If all were truly renewed in their minds, they would lose their relish for such things, and seeking not only to do the will of God, they would not be slow to find it. In the last Bible study from the home office on the churches of Revelation, on the title of the Bible study was Laodicea, Mr. McNeely stated that our leaders, our political leaders and government, other government officials, are spiritually drunk. Their decisions are being made that to the average person or to many of us make no sense. To highlight that, or to bring that out closer, I'll quote from World News Net Daily. Everybody has heard about Planned Parenthood. The White House has issued a statement, an administration policy vowing to veto any new pro-life bill that the House of Representatives will vote on that would hold the Planned Parenthood liable and criminally liable for harvesting body parts and aborting babies who are technically still alive. Where everybody, our society, government officials, and the society has become, as Dr. Ward said, accepting of sin or sin lifestyles. Let's look at Isaiah 27, which talks about the leaders of Ephraim and Judah, which could apply today also. Isaiah 28, verse 7. Isaiah 28 and verse 7. But they also have erred through wine, through intoxicating drink, and are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way, though through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Our world, the society we live in, is referred to as a counterculture. Usually it's referred to a rebellious subculture, but it also can have a positive meaning. Each of us can choose to be part of God's counterculture, the people who are trying to live by every word of God, as Luke 4:4 mentioned. As society increasingly becomes more like a polluted, filthy river, it is no time to float. We must learn to swim upstream, as Mr. Yeats in his sermon on trumpets spoke about drifting anyway, like a boat without a motor. There is coming a wonderful culture revolution. Jesus Christ promised that he would come again to this earth and set up his government, as we observed Feast of Trumpets earlier this week. In John 14, verse 3, and in Matthew 6, 10, when Christ is ruling the whole world, all people will live in peace and joy. And the best word to describe the world culture will be righteousness, as Isaiah 61 and verse 11 brings out. Isaiah 61 and verse 11. Verse 11 of Isaiah 61. For as the earth brings forth its buds, as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nature. Imagine a world like that. We today live in a very exciting times. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. And we must avoid the culture of our society. And especially when we attend the feast, not let the culture in around the feast site shape our activity or our attitude or our happiness or excitement, but to be focused on God's way of life. In the future, the many regional cultures of the world will be united over the overall culture of God, of his word and his laws. The world desperately needs the culture revolution, and it is coming. Let's maintain our dedication, zeal, and enthusiasm for God and his way of life, and pray that God's culture will come to this earth soon.